So I received this postcard that says the only reason you wrote a book was so you could have a party. Is this true?
That quote was fabricated, but I like the idea behind it. It's true in, In essence, it's certainly true, but not in actuality.
You've had quite a party here today, quite a turnout here today. Were you expecting this?
I think this is about exactly how I was expecting it. Like, I thought there would be a pretty good turnout from what some family members and friends had said and from the response on Facebook and things. And so I've been really happy that it kind of pretty much aligned with what I was expecting and I think with what all of us were expecting.
Let's talk about the book. Is this your first book?
This is. It's my debut collection of stories that won a first book award. So I did publish a chapbook in 2010, which is kind of a small book of seven stories. Five of those stories are in this book. But I published that, but it doesn't necessarily count as a full-length book. So this is my first full-length collection of stories.
What award did you win?
It's the John Simmons Short Fiction Award, given out by the University of Iowa Press. They have a thing called the Iowa Short Fiction Awards, and they award two winners each year, and they publish those books. One is the Iowa Short Fiction Award winner, and the other is the John Simmons Short Fiction Award, and I won the latter of those two.
And hence it was published.
Yes, juried by... each year they choose a different... usually I'd say kind of like a superstar writer to judge the competition. This year's judge was Jim Shepherd, which meant a lot to me because I've read a lot of Jim Shepherd's stories. I've read his novel, Project X, which was a really important book for me. I learned a lot about writing from that book and from his short stories, and it was a real honor to have him select, to find out that he was the judge and that he was the one who selected my book as one of the two winners, so... I was really excited about that.
Well, you may have just answered this question. Is there some Jim Shepherd in this book? I mean, some influence from him in the book?
I'd say not. I don't think so. I think Jim Shepherd is his own kind of thing. And I was talking with my publicist from the press earlier who made the trip over from Iowa City for the party. And I was talking about the other co-winner, Marie Helene Bertino, and how I'd been reading her book and how much I liked it. It's very funny and kind of like quirky. My stories are a little more like somber, typically like kind of like sad. And I was thinking, we were talking about how different these two books are. And I think it makes sense that someone like Jim Shepherd, I said, like, he doesn't really have an agenda. I don't think he just looks for things that he likes. And he as a writer has a lot of range. I know one thing that maybe there's a little bit of Jim Shepherd in here, and that I have a story about a baseball player, and Jim Shepherd, I remember, has a story that I liked quite a bit that was about a football player where he dealt more with kind of the person than the football. And I know with my story is about a baseball player, but it's more about who he is as a person than as a player, someone who plays sports. And so maybe that story would be have a little Jim Shepherd in it.
Why do you suppose you take a more somber approach, more somber tone to your stories?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know. I know what gets me started writing a story usually is an image that I want to get to. And in order to get to that image, I have to find a kind of tone, an approach to take to the story. And I have to figure out who the characters are and what the situation is. And I'm doing that all kind of while writing. And I feel like, I don't know. I keep hearing from people who've read the book about how much loneliness there is in it and about how much dislocation and isolation. And I don't think about those things necessarily while I'm writing. I did think about it maybe when I was arranging the stories, but in mostly abstract ways. And I think some of it might have to do with living in the Midwest where I live. I think I'm not necessarily like a lonely person, but I do see people here who experience a certain kind of longing. And I think that, and I experience a certain kind of longing on occasion. I think that's one of the things that gets me putting my pen on the page. And I think that might have something to do with it.
Would your childhood have something to do with that? Did you grow up in a rural community that maybe was isolated, or can you tell us a little bit about your background?
I did grow up in two different small towns, right here in Monmouth, Illinois, until I was 10, and then we moved to Logansport, Indiana, and I lived there from the age of 10 until I was 18. And I think kind of, actually, it was that move at the age of 10 that, and I wouldn't say it necessarily made me a writer, but I think it informed a lot about what I do when I write, and that I kind of existed in these two different places and never felt maybe fully rooted in one of them. Most of my family was in Monmouth, but then I also spent the better portion of like my formative years in Logansport, and I think that led to a kind of dislocation and this kind of like kind of straddling two places and not feeling at home in either one. And I think that that informed a lot of I don't know, it's a weird, maybe sounds pretentious to say this, but informs a lot of like my artistic vision or how I see the world.
Well, now that you're back in Monmouth, living in Monmouth, are you feeling more rooted?
Yeah, I definitely am, and it was nice. I did an event last night in Galesburg at a bookstore, and it was nice that I had some students come by. I also had some people from the community who are friends come by. I had some work colleagues come by, and the same thing today where I went to Monmouth College, and I had one of my old professors came here today. I had some of my students here today. I had my dad's coworkers, my family members, all these different people, and I feel like there's a kind of a collision of different worlds, but around that is like me being it's definitely me being in this place and getting to know more people, and definitely I think, yeah, kind of growing some roots here. I think that's safe, that's fair to say.
The book is fiction. Is there any element, are there any elements of your life in the book, anything from real life that you converted into fiction?
Definitely there's a lot of real life in this. The first story involves a narrator whose brother has been run over by his own car, and that very much happened to my own brother, who was just standing right here and left. He had that happen. I do it, and typically when I'm working from real life doesn't make the best stories. It makes good anecdotes that we can tell to people who know us and maybe love us or like us and know, but it doesn't make good fiction that strangers might read. And so when I work with a story like that where there's an anecdote where my brother got run over by his own car, then I have to figure out how to make that be meaningful to someone else. And that's kind of my task as a fiction writer. And there's certainly a story that's inspired by my nephew that's in the book. And I love my nephew a lot. And when I was creating that character, part of what I was trying to do was make readers love this character as much as I love my nephew. But then to do that, I have to invent a lot of things along the way. So, but a lot of them, and if they don't take place, or if they don't come out of like kind of real life events or people, they certainly come out of real life emotions that I experience on a daily basis, and then kind of want to figure out a way to get onto the page in story form.
Can you talk a little bit about your writing process? Do you force yourself to sit down and write something every day, or do you have to feel moved by something to actually sit down and start putting something together?
I do try to force myself to write something each day, although I'm typically unsuccessful at that. I'd say I more go through periods when I get really invested in a project, whether it's a longer thing that I'm working on or a short story, and when I'm really invested in it, that's when I'm better at getting up early in the morning and spending 3 or 4 hours, or making sure each night before I go to bed I'll spend 2 or 3 hours with something. But especially as the book's been coming out, that's thrown my whole process out of whack a little bit, because I've had to do things like
sit here and sign books for 3 hours.
Or with the as leading up to the publication, I had to help, you know, secure blurbs and work on marketing things and copy edit the book and do all these things, which were certainly happy tasks, but they're not the stuff that I enjoy the most, which is making things and playing with words and figuring out what's going on in these little things in my mind that I'm trying to get down on the page. And so I try, but I fail a lot. And what I try to do is just make sure that I'm devoting some time each day or each week to making something and to putting some sentences down.
These are short stories of varying length, but how long does it take you to do a short story? Can you sit down and write a short story and be happy with it, or how long of a process before you have something that you're satisfied with?
I'd say it really does vary from piece to piece. There's one story in the book, which was it was the first story that I wrote my first semester of grad school in fall of 2002. I wrote the story in 7 hours, like straight through, almost like a regular work day, where I sat down and drank tea all day and got this story down onto the page, and I was like, I think this is good. And it was something I knew that I had wanted to write, and I got it out. And I workshopped it, and it didn't get a great reception, but a friend of mine gave me some really good notes, a friend in grad school, and I incorporated those notes and spent another maybe month tinkering, and then I sent it out, and it got accepted for publication. And that was maybe the easiest story out of all of them to write. Another one, I mentioned the story that was inspired by my nephew. That story took me more like 5 months probably to get it the way I wanted it to, and then another 2 years of revising after that. And, you know, I work on other things. I work on a couple stories at the same time a lot of the time, so it's not like I spent 5 whole months just working on that, but where I definitely spent a lot of time during those 5 months thinking about the story and following paths that led nowhere and trying to make it as good as it could be. So it really varies. Even some of the shorter stories take a long time, more time than certainly a reader would probably ever think that it might take me to get it the way that I want it to be. So,
well, when you're dealing with an economy of words, you want to get them exactly right when you're talking a very short story. So I imagine that could be more challenging than something where you're using more words, perhaps.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And where each word is bearing a different kind of weight, and each sentence bears a different kind of weight, and that there's not a lot of margin for error there. You're not just taking someone on this long journey, but you're hoping that each little bit of this story resonates in the way you want it to in order to do all that it has to do in, say, 400 words or 1,100 words or something like that.
As you're trying to complete a story, is this entirely on your own? How much do you bounce story ideas off of other people or let them read what you've written and try and get some feedback?
I do most of it on my own for the majority of the process. I was part of a writer's group for a while during the writing of this book back in 2007 or so. And this was after grad school. I certainly had a lot of feedback in grad school from my professors and my friends, and would give them completed drafts and then revise from there. But after grad school, since I started teaching at Knox College in 2005. Ever since then, I've been mostly on my own. Like I said, I was part of this small group where we would share a story every 3 or 4 months with each other and get some feedback. I had an agent for a few years who would give me some feedback on stories and who submitted them for me. And I have a new agent now who does the same thing. But for the most part, I don't send people my work every day, or I don't send people even every month or every year. A lot of it, I am just, it's me trying to figure it out. Although I certainly, when I have friends who are willing to read stuff for me, I really value that feedback and usually learn a lot from it. I've never become part of like a regular writing group or anything like that since the one I did in 2007.
That's tough to do, though, isn't it? I mean, even though you want the feedback, when you give somebody something you've created and they perhaps tear it to pieces, that's never easy to get used to, is it?
No, I do think I'm certainly more used to it than I was when I entered graduate school in 2002, and that I think as a writer, I want people to get what I'm trying to say. And if I have someone who's willing to read something and give me some feedback and they say they don't get something, then I can say, I think that's my fault, and I want to know how I can help the reader to get what I'm after there. And so I don't think of it so much as I don't take it personally. I want stuff to work in the service of the story that I'm writing and for the characters that I'm writing about more than anything else.
The woman sitting over there in the black and orange says all your ideas come from your wife. Is that true?
She's definitely responsible for a number of my ideas. For her, I think, 30th birthday, she actually gifted me all of her ideas. I have not capitalized on that much, but she and she certainly comes from a very creative family. I come from a family, people who are very lovely and very loving, but who also, I would say, I think it's fair to say, like, not very educated. I have an aunt who's was an elementary school teacher, and she went to college, but she's the only one in my family with a 4-year college degree. And so it's not that they don't necessarily value what I do, but just that it's kind of confusing to them or something like that. And I think they've all come to certainly appreciate it over the years. But Jane's family, the woman in the black and orange, she comes from a very kind of creative family who, I think anyway, live in really interesting ways. And I have certainly gleaned a lot of inspiration from seeing how her family members and how she, how they think and how they go about living their lives. So she kind of says that as a joke, but she knows that a lot of that is true. And I would certainly admit that to being inspired by her and her family quite a bit.
Now that the book is finished, do you have a particular story in it that is your favorite? Or is that like asking someone to choose their favorite child?
I think usually for me, my favorite stuff is like the stuff I'm working on at the moment, or the newer stuff. And so
What are you working on at the moment now that this book is completed? Are you starting something else?
Yeah, I wrote, while this book was still kind of being written, toward the end of it, I wrote a draft of a young adult novel, and I've been trying to get my way. I finished the draft and sent it off to my agent at the time and to some editors and got some feedback, and I'm kind of beginning to feel my way back into that and figure out how to solve its problems and make it do what it wants to do. And I've also written and published about, this book is comprised of 18 stories, and I think I've written and published probably another 30 or so essays, 30 stories over the course of the time I'd written all of these. And so I'm always working on new stuff in general, like usually always trying to write a story or write an essay. And I've been writing, too, lately, linked stories that are all told by the same narrator. So that's one of my main projects that I've been giving a lot of time to and that I kind of like a lot right now. I'm excited by it.
Can you describe the emotion of getting a package in the mail and opening it and seeing it's your book and, you know, a hard copy of your book, something you've written, has been published?
Yeah, it was really pretty overwhelming. In the same way, I found out in January of 2012 that I won this award, and I'd been a finalist for similar awards 3 different times, so I'd really come close. And twice in 2011 I found out that I was a finalist for an award, and I wouldn't say I was like devastated, but I was starting to wonder, will I ever not be a bridesmaid in this? And so when I got that phone call and found out that I had won this, at first, I was kind of like, well, it's about time. Like, you know, I've gotten over that hurdle. And then as the months went on, and I think about, too, some of my friends who enter contests like this, or other writers whose work I've read and really admired, and I know that they're entering contests like this. And then I think, like, wow, you got to get lucky to do this. And I think that's where I started to feel a little overwhelmed with a kind of, like, just feeling how lucky I was to finally come out on the winning side. And I think that same kind of overwhelming feeling happened when I got the first copy in the mail. I remember like looking at it and holding it in my hands and just being like, wow, this thing, it exists. And it was pretty unbelievable. I might have danced around my house for a while that day.
Anything you want to add about this?
No, I'd say,
is there something in particular you would like a reader to get out of it when he or she finishes the final story?
I think there's a writer named Michael Chabon who was one of the first contemporary writers I read when I was like 19. He had just 2 books published, and he had a third one that was published pretty soon, right around that time. But I read him and I really liked him, and he's been a kind of like hero of mine over the years. And since then, he's won the Pulitzer Prize, I think, and he's won a lot of awards and sold a lot of books and made a lot of fans. But back then, I'd say he didn't have quite as many, but he said something in his introduction to the Best American Short Stories in 2005, I believe, about how something about literature's purpose being to bridge the gulf of human consciousness that separates each of us from one another. And he was arguing in that introduction for entertainment and how entertainment was the surest way to bridge that gulf of human consciousness that separates each of us. And I'd say I don't think I'm writing the most entertaining stories, because he was recalling things like Edgar Allan Poe's, some of his like scarier stories, or he was recalling detective stories. But I suppose in the end, and maybe this is a lot to ask for, but I hope after reading these kind of lonely stories that people feel just a little bit less lonely or something. That's what I think I would want a reader to get out of it.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Rich.